Starting a brand new series today called The Stories Jesus Told. Can anyone tell me what is the biblical term that we use to classify the stories that Jesus told? Anybody know that word? Parable. Yeah, look, y'all are super saints. We can go home right now. Amen. Thank you. A parable is a short story. That's what a parable is. It's not a super spiritual word. Parables, according to a first century theologian, Origen of Alexandria, he teaches us that the parables were allegorical. The parables were allegorical, meaning that they were symbolic, meaning that they weren't historical events, and we still look at them in that way today. That parables were used as stories from Jesus to teach us kingdom principles, to teach us life principles and how we can grow to be kingdom people, to be kingdom citizens. Now, why should we study parables if they are not historical events? If Jesus was just making up stories, why in the world were they included in the scriptures? Why should we pay any attention to these stories that are in the Bible? Well, I think that there are some key reasons why Jesus taught in parables. One is that they help us to see ourselves in the kingdom. That he's not giving us stories of specific individuals because he wants us to insert ourselves into the stories. As a matter of fact, that is a great way to study the parables, is to read the parables of Jesus and see where you fit in. Which character do you identify with most? A great way to grow your spirituality and deepen your faith is to not only identify who you currently are in the story, but who you identify with as a person you can stretch to be more like in the story. The parables are incredibly useful for our growth. And so I'd like to start off, kick this series off, from the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter number 4, if you have your Bibles, would you turn them on or open them up to Mark chapter 4 and follow along with me today? I want to start with Mark because Mark is significant in his gospel recording. Mark is actually the first to record the gospel. He's the first one to write down these observations of Jesus, these stories of Jesus. Mark was actually a disciple of Peter. And so he's getting his information directly from the man who was next to the man. And I love Mark also because he was a North African brother. I mean, that's just the facts. So Mark records his gospel in 70 AD, the first and oldest gospel we have. And I think that that's significant as we read. Could you join me in chapter 4, verse number 2 is where we'll start. He taught them many things by parables. And in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. And the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, and some 100 times. Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you move in a way like you've never moved before? Would you plant the seeds in us that we need to grow and to prosper in our faith? and to become more and more like you, kingdom citizens that you're calling us to be. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. How many of you have reached perfection? Perfect people, where are you? Yeah, okay, all right. The liars are in the room. Come up to the front and let us get the oil. I think we got oil in here too. Just messing with you. Some of us, right, some of us believe that we've reached perfection. We believe we're holy in all of our ways, right? Many of us believe that we are excellent and perfect in all of our actions, in our speech. Some of us even think that we're just like Jesus in our thoughts, that if the whole world thought like us, the world would be a better place. I beg to differ. That if we are honest and truthful in our examination of ourselves, all of us could actually look in the mirror and say, I have some room to grow. Some of us can say, I have a lot of room to grow. Some of us need to acknowledge that and humble ourselves so that we can grow. We can move the cap from our tops and we can flourish. This parable of Jesus, the first of his parables, I believe that he taught this one first because it is significant. He wants to inform us about what the kingdom is actually like and how we can grow to become more and more like him. This is a growth parable, and I believe that he's given us this one first because it is incredibly significant. He does not want us to be satisfied with our current relationship with God. He wants us to look forward to getting closer and closer to him. He wants us to not be satisfied with our current status, wherever we are, whatever our jumping off point is. He wants us to continue to strive, continue to reach to becoming full followers of Jesus. Jesus wants us to not only continue to strive and work, but he wants us to enjoy this life. He says that I came that you might have life and life to the full. I think the King James says life and life abundantly. And he wants you and me to enjoy that right here on this planet, on earth as it is in heaven. He wants all things to be made new in your life right now before you even get there. But he says in order to get there, you need to grow. You and I need to do some growing. So he offers us this parable to help us to grow. Yeah, this parable. Before I move on, let me take a moment to introduce you to Bob. Bob was in our home for probably too long. And many of you may have had Bobs in your life. But Bob was in the bag of potatoes, new potatoes. And Bob started to grow some eyes. Potatoes with eyes, right? That means they've been around too long. You waited too long to cook them. And so I was going to cut them eyes off. I was going to put that potato in a pot. And my daughter said, no, wait. His name is Bob. And she took Bob and kept Bob and held on to Bob and played with Bob and introduced Bob to all of her stuffed animals and Barbie and all of them. And they just playing together. And I'm like, baby, we can't have food just like laying around the house. We don't live like that. You know, we don't want any unexpected visitors coming. And so I looked for Bob for months. I couldn't find Bob. And I'm like, but I see her every now and then. Bob will come out to play. And so one day I was in the downstairs bathroom. I just happened to open one of the drawers, the cabinet drawers, and I saw deep down in the drawer, in the dark, a dark, cool place, Bob. Getting older and wrinkled now with multiple eyes, more than I can count. And so I pull Bob out, and I use this as a teachable moment for my daughter. I pull my daughter to the side. I say, hey, Grace, look, we can either throw Bob away because he's past his prime, or we could plant Bob. You see, I thought that this was a great opportunity to teach my daughter about sowing and reaping, about growing, about how you gain from God, because God says in order to gain from him, you got to give something. And if you give, he said he will give back to you in abundance. You got to plant a seed in order to get a crop. And so here is my opportunity to teach my daughter this lesson. And so I said, let's go out and plant Bob. She agreed. And we go into the backyard. We find this planter. And I had some soil and some fertilizer in the garage. I pull that out. We put it in there. We put some fertilizer in there. We start digging it up. We start turning the soil over. And we plant Bob. I don't know how long this was, maybe a month later. We go to check on Bob. We've been watering Bob. And Bob actually started to grow, right? Bob started to grow. You see, if you want to see some growth in your life, if you want your life to continue to progress, if you want to see some spiritual growth in your life, if you want your ministry to continue to move and progress, if you want something in your life, some area that is dark and immature to continue to progress, you need three things that Jesus has in this parable. He gives us three essentials to growth. He said you need a sower, you need some soil, and you need a seed. First of all, the sower. The sower is a farmer, the one who plants seeds. Now, back in this day, sowers, planters, growers, farmers, whoever they are, they would shave a stick down. They didn't have, you know, tractors and all that kind of stuff. You shave a stick down till it's pointy and sharp, and you would dig lines in your property to make room for the seed. And then what the sower would do was take a bag of seed and stand on a high place and toss that seed into the field. This is where we get the term broadcasting from. Because a broadcaster stands at one place and then sends a signal, sends a message, sends a seed out to the masses. And so a sower now is broadcasting, sending seed into the soil. So we have a sower, someone who is planting the seed. He says, now, not only do we need a sower to actually plant the seed and to plant the seed liberally, but to now we need soil to receive the seed. Many of you have heard this parable before. You've heard that. You've heard this, and many of you have heard it, as I was talking to the pastoral team, have heard this taught in a different way than what I'm going to teach you. So I want you to hang on. Buckle up. We see here that Jesus is the illest MC that ever lived. Because the words he used are so profound. He says that some seed fell on the path. It's in your Bible too. He said it fell on the path. What is the path? You know the path. Whenever you've gone out into the woods, whenever you've walked around Minneapolis, all of these lakes and all kinds of stuff, you see the path is where people walk. That word path is translated in the Greek as highway. It is the place where people continue to walk. People don't walk randomly. They find the path that someone else walked on, and they walk that one. And when you know that you're on the path because there's always vegetation on the side, never vegetation on the path. Because the soil that's in the path has been compacted. The soil on the path has been worn down. The soil in the path now is impenetrable. And so when the sower casts out seed, the seed might fall on the path, but it ain't going nowhere. You know why? Because the ground is hard. Jesus uses this illustration for you and for me to understand the condition of our hearts, the condition of our inner human, the condition of our souls. And he says, some of you have some hard hearts today. He says, I'm casting seed liberally. I'm pouring out my grace. I'm pouring out the gospel, but it keeps landing on the surface in your life. It's not going anywhere. And he said, the broadcaster, the sower, sows the seed, and it lands on the surface, and the birds love it because they know they're going to get a meal. The birds come in, swoop in, and eat the seed. Now, there may be many reasons why your heart is hard today. There might be many reasons. There might be people in your life who continue to walk all over you and continue to make your life, your heart, hard. Maybe life's circumstances has made your heart hard. Maybe you've struggled through poverty and it has made your heart hard. Maybe your illness that you can't get over has made your heart hard. And you're like, God, I really don't believe what you're saying because I'm in this circumstance. It is beating me up. It is wearing me down. It is compacting the soil in my life. And I can't really receive or hear what you're trying to say because I'm going through it right now. Maybe you've been beat up by supremacy in this country. And the foot, the proverbial foot or knee has been on your neck for hundreds of years. And you're like, how can I believe in a God who's allowed this to happen to me? Maybe fake Christianity has hardened your soil. And you see the people who claim to be Christians and continue to participate in injustice and destroying people's lives, call themselves Christians. So if that's the Christian, why would I ever want to be a part of that? Hardness of heart. He says, your heart has been hardened. Your heart has been hardened to such a way that you've shut down you're no longer allowing other people, no longer allowing the word of God to have an effect on your life. And then he says there's a real opposition that exists. He says that there's a real enemy that is looking to steal any seed that might fall in your vicinity, to make sure that there's no chance for it to grow. He calls them birds. But we know that there's a real enemy named Satan, the devil, Lucifer of old, that is waiting for this good news to reach your ears and is going to do something today, I guarantee it, to take this word out of your spirit. Just watch when you leave here today. Some hater is going to come up to you and start talking some nonsense. And you go like, girl, I know. Some gossiper is going to come up and start talking bad about the church or the pastor or I know I had an experience over there. They're trying to serve as Satan's imps to steal your seed. God wants to plant some seed in your life, and he wants it to flourish. He wants it to be planted in good soil so that it can grow and produce good things in your life. But you got to shoo away them birds. You can't let the birds keep picking at your garden and pick you clean. You got to shoo them away. You got to walk away from the haters. You got to push away the gossipers. You got to push away all of those things that are holding you back. And that's why he talks about the next soil. The rocky ground, rocky places, he says. Some of us are in rocky places. Our seed is being planted in rocky places. Watch this. Rocky places is a place of shallow faith. That's the place where we're not really taking this Christianity seriously. See, some of us only come to church for the miracles. Now, miracles are good. I want to see more miracles. But if we're not coming for the king of the miracle, we've come for the wrong reason. We're in stony ground. He says, we're in stony ground when this faith becomes about us and we become worshipers of our own God, us. This is what Gordon Allport calls the extrinsic religious orientation, meaning that's when our faith exists to serve our personal goals. Jesus calls it rocky places. You see, rocky soil, we get excited about the word. We come to church for the word. We come to church for the scriptures. We get excited about the worship. And when it is planted, oh, man, God, I love your promises, all the promises. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know I love all of that good word. But when the heat is turned up in your life, when the sun comes out the next day, when tragedy happens, when chaos kicks in, what you gonna do? What you gonna do? Is your tree, your plant, your garden going to continue to grow and struggle through the hard times, or is it going to wither away? That brings us to the next soil that Jesus talks about, and that is the thorny soil, the thorns. He says that this garden is full of weeds, thistles. Watch this. Things that choke the gospel out of your life. How many of you have some people in your life that's choking the gospel out of your life? How many of you are watching videos online that's choking the gospel out of your life? You're following people on social media who are choking the gospel out of your life, just choking your life away. He says, you know you're in thorny soil when other concerns become just as important as the gospel. Ooh. Or even more important than the gospel. When the good news of Jesus Christ becomes just another thing to get me by. When the good news of Jesus Christ just becomes a self-help doctrine and not the worship of the King, we might be in thorny soil. Your job, your house, your investment, your kids, your bank account, your distress, your poverty, your hard times, your politics cannot take precedence over the gospel in your life if you want to grow. Now, those things have their place, but the gospel has to be of utmost importance in my life. It has to be the focus. My eyes have to be set on him, and everything else falls into place. You see, some of us want to be, this is not in the script, I probably don't have time to go here, but I think I need to go here. Some of us want to be involved in political movements or social experiments, or we want to see things done in the city, and we get involved in organizations that are doing those things, and that's nothing wrong with that. But watch this, God says he's going to solve all problems through his gospel. You see, when we take the things out of order and we try to solve all these problems in the world on our own with our money, God ain't solving them problems with your money. He wants you to come under his rulership, and he says, then I will make all things new. But we got to put it in right priority. So finally, not only do we need to address our path, our hard hearts, our hard soil, the compacted soil. Not only do we need to address the rocky ground, not only do we need to pull up the weeds out of our soil, he says, but then we can produce good soil. And that's where the seed grows. Good soil, that's where we are productive for the kingdom. Rich soil. Listen, if you want Jesus to grow in your life, there's some things that you need to do. You need to enrich your soil. Enrich your soil. That means you need to till your soil. You need to enrich it with fertilizer. You need to manicure your lawns. You need to remove the rocks. You need to prune back the unproductive branches. Preacher, what does that mean practically? It means this. Reading and responding to the word. Don't neglect this book. This book is of utmost importance and should be of your life. The truth of God can have more impact on your life and this community and our twin cities and beyond if we just take it seriously. If we just read, watch this, and not just read for information's sake, but read to apply it to our lives and become more like the word. Greg Hawkins, the author of the book Move, I should have had a picture up on it. Y'all can look it up on Amazon, but it's a fabulous book. He says that reading and applying scripture is the most effective catalyst for your spiritual growth. If you don't do anything else, I'm not neglecting prayer and community and generosity and serving and all of that stuff is awesome. But if you could just read the scripture and take time to actually apply it to life, that is the greatest catalyst for your not only spiritual growth, but every other growth that you would like to see. I know what some of you are thinking right now because my pastoral team told me. They said, Gary, so different people had the same thing. When I was taught this passage, one person said, I hate this passage. I hate this passage of scripture because when I was taught this passage, I was taught that I was one of those soils and I couldn't get out of it. I said, oh my gosh, that's so sad. I'm sorry. And it was just negative feeling in the room about me preaching on this soil, this passage. So I'm like, I gotta preach on this passage. If it's some negative feelings, we gotta get right on it, right? Because, watch this, I want you to understand, those of you who are trying to find your place, I'm one of those soils, oh, I can't get out of it, something about predestination and all that nonsense. Let me tell you something. We are all of these soils. We have all of these soils in our lives right now. There is good in our lives and there's some bad in our lives. There's some hard places in our heart and there's some soft places in our heart. We are not perfect creatures. We are paradoxical. And that is why we need Jesus. Anybody who thinks that they're perfect, anybody who thinks that they are the good soil, anybody who thinks that they got it all together is wilding. They are incredibly not humble. We need Jesus because he's the one who credits righteousness to our account until we can grow into some righteousness. We need Jesus because he is the one who offers us mercy when we deserve to be punished. We need Jesus because he is the one who generously, liberally pours out grace upon us when we don't even deserve it. We need Jesus because he is the one who counts us as right. He is the one who sends the Holy Spirit into our lives to continue doing the gardening in our lives because gardening is a continuous process. You ever left a garden alone? You're coming back to no garden. The weeds take over. This is my garden. That's what the weeds say. I just imagine they have arms and a chest to beat. So what area of your life do you need to invite the Holy Spirit in to help you turn over the condition of your soil? This last thing, I'll leave you with this, that Jesus tells us that we need, that's essential to our growth. Not only do we need a sower to sow seed in our lives, not only do we need good soil, but we need good seed. And watch this, seeds are powerful. You ever seen a seed? It is the weakest little thing you ever seen. But when planted, it has the power of life on the inside of it. It has the potential for abundance on the inside of it. And you know what Jesus is referring to when he talks about the seed? He's talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. His good news, Romans chapter 1, verse 16, says that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God. The gospel seed is, watch this, power. It's not just information, it is power. If you're accepting Jesus Christ and you say, okay, I'm going to read this to fill my head with more knowledge, you're missing the point. He says, this is power. If you want to see transformation in your life, get some power. If you want to see your marriage renewed, get some power. If you want to see this city transformed for Jesus Christ, get some power. But some of you have already experienced some of that power, haven't you? Oh, I wish I had a witness in here. There's somebody in here who has experienced the good news of God that has transformed your life already. Somebody in here has experienced the good news of Jesus because it has transformed your mind. When you were thinking one way, it changed how you think. Somebody here has experienced the good news of Jesus Christ because it changed you in your sin and made you into a saint. Somebody here has experienced the good news of God because it's taken you out of your dark places and put you into the light. Somebody has experienced the goodness of God because it's taken you out of your depression and put you into a place of celebration. Somebody here has experienced the goodness of God because it broke you out of your addiction. Somebody here has experienced the goodness of God because it took your timidity and turned it into confidence. Somebody here has experienced the goodness of God, and I wish y'all give it up for Jesus Christ because he has transformed your life. That, my friends, is the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel is a supernatural seed that does miraculous things. But in order for that supernatural seed to do miraculous things, watch this, it has to be planted. The gospel has to go deep into the darkest areas of your life. And that's why I say all of us have all of these soils in our lives. We got all four, because in the good soil, y'all already got production. That's great. You don't have to worry about those. You just got to prune every now and then. But in those dark areas of your life, those places where you don't let anybody in, that place you haven't told anybody about, let the gospel get deep into that. And if you care for it, if you water it, if you take care of it, watch God bloom something beautiful in that area that you had in the darkness. When planted, seeds organically grow. They're productive. So after about 90 days, Grace and I went to go check on Bob. And we went in the backyard to see what Bob was up to. You know, we've been watering him, taking care of him. And we looked and we saw something strange. We saw this lump sticking out of the ground. And it was covered with dirt at the time. So I was like, man, is there an animal got in there and tried to eat Bob and got stuck? I don't know what I'm going to experience. So we got down on our hands and knees and we started digging back some dirt. We got dirty, y'all. We started pulling back some dirt. We tugged on the little branch there. I don't know what it's called, but it wasn't coming up. So we had to figure it out. I didn't know if that animal had a hold on it or not, but it wasn't an animal. We pulled the dirt back, and that was a potato. And so we dug some more, and guess what we found? A pot full of potatoes. You see, when we planted Bob, when Bob became a seed, when Bob got buried deep and we cared for Bob and we took care of Bob and we gave Bob sunlight and we gave him fertilizer, we gave him a good place to live and to grow, a multiplication happened. And not only did he stay Bob, but then Roberta came along and then all these different names. She named all of them. All of these, whole family came. And that's what God wants to do in your life. He wants the gospel to be planted so deep into your life that it produces good fruit. But then he doesn't want that fruit to just stick around with you. He wants that fruit to spread. He wants you to share your story of Jesus, how Jesus impacted your life with somebody else so that they can multiply in their vineyard. And they can multiply in their vineyard. And they can do some great work wherever they go. But he needs you to share that seed. So today, is your soil hardened? Is your soil hardened and keeping you from receiving the good news of Jesus Christ? Are you just brushing today's message off like, I'll come back next week or maybe not? Is your soil rocky and keeping you from being all that God has created you to be? Is your soil thorny? And it's being choked out by your friends and your family and your surroundings and the things that you participate in. Or is your soil enriched? And are you producing good fruit? If you are, how can you multiply that fruit? Not only this week, but for generations to come. Worship team, y'all can come on forward. Because we have all of these soils in different areas of our lives. But our responsibility is to identify the condition of our soil and then tend to our garden so that we can be productive. I'm going to ask you to grab your Connect card. Everybody filled out a Connect card because that's what I asked you to do, right? Grab that Connect card, whether it's online or in your hand. At the bottom, it says, my next step. You know what I want you to do this week? I want you to focus. I have a few areas that I want to put up on the screens. And what I'm asking is this week, I want you to enrich your soil, you to tend to your soil by focusing on one of these areas this week. Do you need to focus more on scripture and applying it to your life? Then take number one. Write number one on your card. That's all you got to do. That's what I'm going to do this week. Focus on the scripture and apply what I read to my life. Or maybe you need to spend more time in prayer. God, I've been neglecting talking to you. That's all prayer is, communicating with the Father. I'm going to put that on my calendar every day to spend some more time in prayer. Maybe you need to get involved in community. And you need to connect with other people. That is an essential part of your spiritual growth. You can't do this alone. Matter of fact, God said it's not good for us to be alone. He wants us to connect with others so that we can grow deeper in relation. Maybe it's your generosity. I think this is a key one. Because God does amazing things through our sowing of seeds. And maybe you've been holding on to your seed or even eating your own seed, consuming it. And God says, I will give you so much more if you just trust me. Or maybe you can serve. Maybe you're not serving, or you can serve more. God will do amazing things in your soil, in your heart, when you start doing for others.